Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Lord, speak to us this morning from your word. Lord, may we hear your voice today. That voice that endures for all eternity. And Lord, as we have worshiped you in this place, as we have glorified your name and exalted you, Lord, may you open our ears and may we receive your word today. That, Lord, we might not just be listeners of the word, but doers as well. So, Lord, speak to us now. We pray these things in that beautiful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at several verses today, and we're going to make our way to Matthew chapter 3. But as you are turning there, for maybe some of you that were out of town last week, still a part of the holiday celebration and New Year's, just want to share with you that last week we talked about God's design. And we talked about how God designed everything in creation to glorify Him. Everything that God made to glorify Him. If you have your Bibles, hold your place there in Matthew. And turn with me to Psalm 19. This is, at least for me, one of my favorite texts in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. How many of you have ever looked up into the heavens on a clear starry night and just you heard God speaking and you saw the glory of God? How many of you have done that? There's just something about God's creation. There's just something about looking into the heavens and as Scripture says, day after day after day after day, the heavens are declaring the glory of God and they pour forth speech. So God created the stars to glorify Him. God created everything to glorify Him, including us. Did you know today that God made you to bring Him glory? Did you know that? If you were here last week, you should know that. We need to understand that Scripture says that as human beings, that we were created in the image of God. Yes, the stars, day after day after day, they pour forth speech, but we are unique because we were created in the very image of God. We were created to glorify God. In fact, Scripture says that we were crowned with glory and honor. And in Isaiah, the prophet tells us that we were created to glorify Him. So I want to remind you, if you were here last week, and if you were not, then I want to tell you this morning that whether you are a teacher, an engineer, a salesman, a student, a stay-at-home mom, an operator at the plant, a doctor, a lawyer, a receptionist, a CEO, it doesn't matter what your profession is, that you were designed, you were made, you were created by God to glorify Him. We talked about this last week, but God made us to be a telescope. By the way, what do telescopes do? They magnify. They take that which is already large and make it as large as it really is. It makes it that large to us. Things that we can't quite see, a telescope magnifies so that we can really see something that we can't see as well. And we're called and made to be telescopes to magnify the Lord, to take that which is already bigger than we can ever understand and to magnify God so that others who can't see God might see His glory. We are to do that in all of our circumstances. We are to do that in all of our conversations. We are to do that in all of our relationships. And that's what 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever it is you do, glorify Him. So it's that simple. It really is that simple. It's that easy to understand. We were created, we were designed to make much of God. It's not hard to understand. It's something I think we can grasp easily today, that God made us to make much of Him, to magnify Him in everything we do. And I shared that with you last Sunday as we began this new year together, because I think that's a good reminder as we begin 2022 and we put all the last year behind us and we think about all that's before us this year. This year is about bringing Him glory. So let me ask you a question this morning. If it's that simple, we are to glorify God everywhere, at all times, with everyone, in all circumstances, how are you doing with that? Sorry, I just looked at Lisa, and Lisa's over here going, okay? Sorry, Lisa. Your head was just like going back and forth. On a scale of 1 to 10, I want you guys to rate yourself, okay? We were in Colorado, and Austin, who is studying chemical engineering, was kind of halfway skiing, snowboarding, and halfway looking at his phone, waiting for the grades to come in. You know, how did I do? How did I do? Oh, Dad, you know, I want you to grade yourself today on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how you're doing in glorifying God in all circumstances, in every conversation, with all people. A 1 being, I really don't glorify God at all, and a 10 being, I glorify God every time, everywhere, with everyone. I want everybody to think of your number. How many of you this morning would say that you fall short of a 10? It's really simple. Really simple to understand how God made us and why He made us. But when we think about the reality of carrying that out in our lives, it's not quite so simple. Sometimes our children disobey. And in that moment, as parents, we say, God, thank you for creating my special child. God, thank you for this opportunity to impart eternal wisdom into their life. God, thank you for the patience. Is that what we do all the time? Or somebody cuts you off in traffic. God, thank you for this opportunity to glorify you, or your boss adds to your workload again and asks you to stay over. And God, thank you for such an understanding boss who knows that my son has a great, important basketball game. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to serve my company once again. You see, the reality is we understand why God made us. We understand that we are to glorify God every day in every circumstance, in every conversation with everyone around us, but the reality is that we often fall short. The reality is that we don't always do that. And maybe for some of us in here this morning, maybe even last week, as you were reminded as we begin this new year, and I reminded you what God made you for, maybe some of you in this room are dealing with a little bit of guilt. Because you know why God made you. You understand what He's called you and created you to do, but there's guilt because you fall short. Or there's disappointment because you were here last Sunday and you heard the Word of God and you said, God, 2022 is going to be about glorifying You. And you got in the car and a kid said something, one of your children, and you immediately just snapped, right? I guess that doesn't happen in the car ride to and from church, right? And you're dealing with disappointment and being disappointed in yourself when you come into the sanctuary of the living God and you worship Him and you hear His Word, and then as you go into this world, it's hard and difficult to do what He's called us and created us. Maybe you're weary. Maybe there is a situation that is just daily for you, a relationship that's hard to glorify God, to magnify Him, a situation that you're dealing with where it's just hard to be patient, hard to be understanding, hard to let others see Christ in you. This past week, we had a group of college students that went to Passion in Atlanta, Georgia. We had 30 plus that went to Passion led by our great leaders, Mike and Sherry Simmons and Peter and Rosie Botros. And they gathered these college students here from our church with 55,000 other college kids and worshiped the Lord for several days and heard incredible preaching. And Kelly and I, we were at the very first Passion back in 1997, a few years ago, and have taken groups there many, many times. And it was our joy to join even our own boys as they were at Passion in Atlanta. We watched at home, and there was a particular message that I had just, by the way, preached last Sunday. And then I heard this message on Monday night, and I thought it was just a great compliment to last Sunday's message. And so today what I want to do is I want to encourage you, I pray, from the Word of God, for those of you that are thinking about how God created you, and you're thinking about that God designed you to glorify Him, but maybe you're struggling with guilt. Maybe you're struggling with disappointment. Maybe you're a little bit weary in magnifying God every day, every time, in every situation you encounter. So I pray that the truth that I'm going to share, by the way, from God's Word, His enduring Word, would encourage you. Would actually free you to do the very thing that God has designed you to do. So, again, if you are still in Matthew chapter 3, let's look at that together. And I want us this morning to look at the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of His ministry. We see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, the Word of God says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' And Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Again, this is at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. And Jesus has just been baptized in obedience. And in verse 17, I want you to notice, verse 17 says, there was a voice from heaven. I'm sure many of you have read this passage before, you've studied this before. But have you really thought about that? Jesus is coming up out of the water, and it says the heavens open up, the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and then there's this voice from heaven. I wonder what that sounded like. I wonder if it was in surround sound. I wonder, like I really wondered, what did creation do in that moment? Last Sunday we talked about how God says to the snow and it falls and covers the earth like wool. What did creation do when God spoke? In the beginning, God spoke and creation came into existence. But here God speaks. Like, I really wonder, like, did God's creation stop and listen? What did his voice sound like? Well, the voice of God spoke. The beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus, and said over Jesus, said to Jesus, "This is my Son." Think about just that first part. The beginning of Jesus' ministry, God speaks over him and says, "This is my Son." And then God says over Jesus, "This is my Son whom I love. And with him," hear this, God said, "with him I am well pleased." Jesus heard this declaration. Jesus heard these three truths before he changed the water to wine. By the way, that was his first miracle of his earthly ministry. He hadn't done that yet. He hadn't changed the water to wine. He had not healed anybody. He had not fed the 5,000. He had not cast out any demons. He had not walked on the water. He hadn't raised Lazarus from the dead. He had not stood by the seashore and taught in parables. He had not died on the cross yet. God said, before Jesus did anything, God said, "This is my Son." And nothing can change that. And then God said, "I love him." And nothing can change that. And then God said, "I am all ready, well-pleased. And nothing can change that. You see, Jesus' identity and God's love and God's pleasure were already set in stone before Jesus did anything. God's love, God's pleasure was not based on his obedience, his performance, his execution of the plan. So are you ready for this? And I believe some of you need to hear this today. That in the same way that when you put your faith in God and you are in Christ, God says over you, "This is my son. This is my daughter. I love you. And I am well pleased." If you're thankful for that today, would you say amen? It's not just a declaration over Jesus, the Son of God. It is a declaration over us as children of God. Turn with me to John chapter 1. You see, our identity in Christ is set already. It's in stone. Of course, John chapter 1 is a story of the incarnation, how Jesus took upon himself flesh and came into this world. But notice verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him," which, by the way, is still an amazing statement. Jesus spoke, and creation came into existence. Creation was made through him. It was created for him, and everything is sustained by him. But the scripture says he was in the world that he created, and the world did not recognize him. That is also an amazing statement of how blind we can be in the midst of our sin and trying to follow our own ways and our own desires. The world didn't even recognize their creator. The world didn't even recognize their Messiah who was standing in their presence. Verse 11, "He came to that which was his own. He took upon himself flesh, came to humanity," the crowning work of creation. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. The world was told, "This is the Messiah." The world was told, "This is the Son of God," and many did not receive him. But notice verse 12. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children, by the way, not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Amen? You know what that's saying is that when we become children of God, that is a work of the living God that takes place through faith. That when we put our faith in Jesus and we embrace him as Lord and Savior, we are given the right to become a child of God. For God to say over us, "You are my son. You are my daughter." And nothing can change that. When you become a child of the living God, nothing can change that declaration. Nothing can change that right that has been given to you. You become the son or daughter of the living God, and God says over you, "This is my son. This is my daughter." Austin and Ashton are here this morning. Ashley, of course, is married to Austin Dameron. They live in Lubbock, where Austin is a youth pastor. She is a youth pastor's wife, but I've got my two boys here. And guess what? They're not perfect. Yeah, I hate to disappoint some of you. In fact, this is kind of, well, anyway, I was about to give a story and they're both like, please no. You know, they're not perfect. And Austin, do you know there are times that you frustrate me? Ashton, did you know there are times that you don't have to be so emphatic? Do you know what? Do you know I love them? And you know it doesn't matter what they do. They will always, always be my sons. And I love them. And in the same way, if you look at Romans chapter 8, as we think about being sons and daughters of the living God, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, a passage that I know you're familiar with, but verse 38, Paul says, "For I am convinced," I love this, Paul says, "I am convinced, I know this is true. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, any height, any depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." Are you thankful for that today? You see, God designed you. God created you. He made you to glorify Him. That's your purpose. And Paul is saying, it doesn't matter how well you fulfill that purpose. Because neither angels nor demons, height or depth, or anything else in creation, including you, there's nothing you can do or not do good enough that can separate you from the love of the living God. And so God says over us, "This is my son, this is my daughter, and I love you." And nothing will change that. But here's what's amazing. Not only does He love us, but He is pleased with us. Austin, do you ever feel like you've disappointed me? Ashton, do you ever feel like you've disappointed me? How does that feel? It's tough, right? Can I ask you a question? Do I tell you enough that I'm pleased with you? Liars. Wow. In church even. They're like, "Of course, Dad. Good job." Okay, well, I wasn't actually expecting you to say that. Okay, what's that? Yeah. Austin's like, that's a lose-lose question. Yeah. Okay. I do love you guys. And I'm pleased with you. But I know that I don't say that enough as a dad. In fact, I think I probably know what I do enough. I do enough of correction, reminding them how they're failing, reminding them how they fall short, reminding them of what I said and how they didn't do that right. And And so I understand that as a father, I need to say more to my sons, I am pleased with you. But how much more so this morning do we need to hear from the living God that He is pleased with us? How many of you need to hear that today? Look over at Psalm 147. There are so many scriptures that fall into this category, but Psalm 147, notice verse 11. Or actually, go to verse 10. It says, His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man. Listen, the Lord delights. Some of your translations may say He takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who put their hope in His unfailing love. God takes pleasure. He delights in those that put their faith in Him. God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you not because of how well you glorify Him, not because of how you respond to your boss, not because of how you handle yourself with your neighbor who comes over with a silly complaint, not because of what you do in traffic. God is pleased with you because you fear Him and you have put your faith in Christ. And God says, "This is my son. This is my daughter. I love you and I am pleased with you." Amen? Bo? The truth is, I think we need to hear that this morning. The truth is, as we begin this new year, and as we think about glorifying God in the situations of life, glorifying God in the circumstances of life, glorifying God in every single relationship, and we begin to think about how simple it is and yet how difficult that is to do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, I wanted you to hear today, as we embrace this mission and we seek to fulfill what God made us to do, I wanted you to hear this truth that you are a son or a daughter of the living God, and that God loves you and He's pleased with you. And I pray that that truth would set you free, that it would remove that burden of guilt, that it would remove that burden of disappointment, that it would remove that burden of weariness and actually free you to do the very thing that God's created you to do. My prayer for you today is that you would rest in this truth. That as Jesus came up out of those baptismal waters, and as He heard the voice of the living God, that in the same way you would hear God's voice today. And that you would rest in knowing who you are in Christ. You're a son. You're a daughter. And nothing can change that. And that you would receive His love. Because nothing can separate you from that love. Whether you're a 1, a 4, a 7, a 9, it doesn't matter how far you fall short, He loves you. And He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you because you are in Christ. And so I pray that that would free you up. Release those shackles and allow you to magnify Him and to tell Him today how great He is. Let's stand.